This is John Florida's Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest is Alicia Olatuja.
Trash man didn't get my trash today. On strike, wanna raise the fare.
Alicia Olatuja is a mezzo-soprano and graduate of the Manhattan School of Music. She made her professional debut as Sacagawea at the Opera Memphis and at Carnegie Hall and the Kennedy Center. She has sung with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir since 2007 and holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Missouri School of Music in Columbia. Her solo at the second inauguration of President Barack Obama gained her international attention. She's also performed at the Newport Jazz Festival, Monterey Jazz Festival, Jazz at Lincoln Center, Rockport Jazz Festival, Montreal Jazz Festival, and the Harlem Stage Gatehouse, just to name a few venues. She has released two album recordings, the first, Timeless, and her most recent, Intuition, Songs from the Minds of Women. I had an opportunity to catch up with Alicia by phone recently and talk to her about her career and life's journey. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm joined today by Alicia Olatuja. So great to have a chance to have a conversation with you today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, we are speaking by phone, and remind me where you're calling from, or where I've called you, I guess.
Well, I'm currently in Jersey City. I was a Brooklyn girl for about 10 years, but, you know, I decided to go ahead and cross the water. And now I'm closer to Times Square than I was before, which is kind of interesting. So, yes.
Well, now let me ask you this. I wanted to start with, I know that you're originally from St. Louis, right?
Yes.
Talk to me about St. Louis and maybe talk a little bit about the role that music played in your life early on.
Well, it's interesting. I actually grew up in a very musical household. No one decided to pursue a career in singing. I was the only one crazy enough to do that. But all my family always had a great appreciation for music and an appreciation for a variety of genres. And so, you know, in my house, within any given day, you know, we'd be playing Handel's Messiah 1 minute and then Aretha Franklin the next minute. So it was kind of crazy, all the different influences that I had growing up. So I definitely was always singing in many different ensembles and singing in church choir. And my mother was over a youth ensemble when I was about, 13 or 12. And we called ourselves the Revelation Generation.
Oh, that's nice. And I like that.
So, you know, a little rhyming ring to it, you know, so. You know, we did some things around town and, you know, traveled a little bit locally and in the Midwest. So I've always just immersed myself deeply in as much music as possible. I was in Jazzmatazz. Oh, God, these rhyming names. They're just getting worse. Jazzmatazz, which was like this jazz ensemble in high school and in junior high. And I was in another group called, an acapella group called His Presence, and we would do our own arrangements of acapella tunes, and I was in concert choir. So that was pretty much what I was doing until I decided to do the solo road.
Well, talk to me a little bit more about St. Louis, the town itself. I mean, did you find that was a good environment? Besides, I mean, I appreciate you letting me know about, you know, kind of your home environment and how that was influential. Mm-hmm. The town itself, did you find that was a good space to be growing as a musician? And just maybe talk about some of the things you remember about St. Louis growing up, just the town itself.
Well, I mean, when I was in St. Louis, I was fairly young. So most of my childhood I spent in church. Like, I wasn't, you know, going out to clubs at, like, 11. So, you know, I wasn't, most of my musical experiences were not based on what St. Louis has to offer as a music town. It was what was happening musically inside of my home. It was what was happening musically inside of my church community and what was happening in school. So that was my exposure as far as what St. Louis, you know, had to offer. You know, I really wasn't hitting up too many hot spots, but I did go to, it was called Jazz at the Bistro, and that's in downtown St. Louis. And I remember that was my first experience being in a jazz club. I was dating a jazz musician, and you know, he decided to take me there on like a date. 2 years ago, I got a chance to do my own show there, and it was like this incredible cyclical experience, you know, being that it was my first place in which I actually heard jazz live and fell in love with that, and to come back and do a show there. So that was pretty much the experience that I had as far as the music scene in St. Louis. But, you know, most of the time I was just in school and I was in church.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
When I was an undergrad at Mizzou, they did an opera that was commemorating the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark expedition. And that caused me to travel to New York and perform at Carnegie. The minute I stepped foot in New York, I had this weird feeling like I was home, you know? And New York, you can have like one, I've heard that it can be very polarizing. You get here and you're like, okay, great place to visit. Let me get that keychain and get that hat and go home. Like, the, you know, or you come to New York and you're like, oh my God, I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Alicia, I want to go back to the story about participating in the work about Lewis and Clark. And if I'm not mistaken, you were in the role of Sacagawea. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you talk to me about what that was like to inhabit as a singer and as an actor, an iconic person from history like that, and to try to bring your talents to representing, you know, yourself as a singer, but also trying to connect with this character. That's an interesting thing, I think.
Well, it was pretty intense because I felt like a lot of what Michael Ching, the composer, and what he was trying to capture the music and also the librettist was the vulnerability that a young 16-year-old girl traveling with a troop of guys across unknown terrain.
Yeah, to
you know,
put it mildly.
While pregnant, you know, it is just crazy. And, you know, in that journey of them exploring, they run into the tribe that she was actually kidnapped from.
Right.
And they didn't, you know, that she's come back and she's, you know, like, okay, is this my home? And, you know, oh, great, I get a chance to see, you know, my family. And some of them didn't accept her because they were like, we don't know who you are. You were taken out of here. Yeah. Now you come back, wow. You're with these guys. We don't know, you know, what's going on. And, you know, but then she also was able to see her brother who had become the chief since she was gone. So the history of her, I didn't really know of before. You know, when you hear about the Lewis and Clark expedition, you hear, oh, yeah, Sacagawea, she helped us out, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that individual journey that her life took before the expedition, you know, and also what after. And I kind of felt like it was just this incredible history lesson for me, being in Corps of Discovery and also trying to portray this beautiful character in such complex real-life situations. But as a young girl myself in that situation of, you know, singing opera music for the first time, really diving into that, you know, I kind of had a lot of questions of my own, like, you know, what is it that I really want to do? you know, where do I see myself as an artist? Where do I see myself as a woman, a young woman trying to figure out her way in this crazy world of music? So I had a lot of transition and questions as to where I belong and where I fit going on in my life personally at that time. And so I really felt like there was this connection that I had with at least some of the aspects of vulnerability that a young girl would experience, just kind of being out there. And after we made the world premiere of the opera, I was actually hired by Michael Ching to star in that role at the Memphis Opera. So I made my professional opera debut as like one the youngest lead that they'd ever had. And I had to leave school to do it. And so I was just kind of like in Memphis. I didn't know anybody really. I knew a few people. I just was like, how did I get here? You know, this is so crazy. And me, you know, the youngest cast member with a group of guys out on the road doing this wow. opera. So I was like, oh my God, this is art imitating life or whatever, life imitating art or something. So for me, I felt like I was able to really resonate with the character because so much of what was actually happening in my life seemed to ask the same question. And that was pretty much the journey that Sacagawea makes through Core of Discovery, knowing who she is and finding freedom and not having to be identified as, oh, this girl or that girl. She decides who she is. And you see that historically with the fact that she was able to survive this journey, pregnant, almost die, get back home and be fine.
Organize my inward cries, single out those loathful lies. Underneath my outward shell, I'm dying to tell. Organize my loathful eyes. Underneath my outward shell, I'm dying to tell. My story's not too long. My heart is not so strong. This urge is killing.
Alicia Olatuja joining us here on Musician's Spotlight. Alicia, while you're talking about your background in classical music, it brought to mind that I'm always fascinated by musicians who can straddle the fence between the classical world and other genres. And it certainly seems like you've been able to do that for a while. And that brings me to your first solo album, Timeless, back to 2014. And I'm trying to remember now, that's a step away from the classical world.
Oh, yeah. So, and it's kind of funny because my goal was at the time when I reached into singing classical music and studying classical music and going to school for it, my goal was never to become an opera singer. My goal was to explore my instrument in a way that I felt would be healthy and I wouldn't end up having calluses and nodes and things that I saw happening to a lot of my friends who, you know, were young and shouldn't have been experiencing those things, to be honest. But then I fell in love with just the genre, and I fell in love with how it merged into being an actress and challenges you in such a athletic way, I think, more so than other genres. So I never felt like I walked away from other types of music. I was always singing different genres. Classical music pretty much, it gave me a foundation to be able to explore other sounds and as my voice was growing and developing. So that was kind of how I always thought of classical music and used it. I just happened to, like I said, stumble upon some really great opportunities, and I've done, you know, several operas since then, and even every once in a while now, so I can keep up on my chops. But I never really walked away from singing soul and R&B and jazz, those things that were rooted in me from a very early age.
I see. Well, then let's dig into Timeless itself and talk about that process of that initial step of I'm going to record my first solo recording. You know, for every musician, they've all got a journey, no matter if there's somebody down the street from us or if it's, you know, somebody who's a Grammy Award winning musician or has a 40 or 50 year career. Everybody's got to make that first journey. Talk to me about that initial push to make that first recording.
Well, for me, I knew that I had something that I wanted to say as an artist. And I think I was writing music a lot. And I also was really appreciative of the roots that had been laid down by so many artists and musicians that I loved and respected that were kind of like a soundtrack to my life. And I wanted to find a way to kind of merge the two in a project. And that's pretty much how Timeless came about, you know. These composers, these songs that have been timeless. People love tunes by Stevie Wonder. People love Michael Jackson tunes. People love, you know, Chaka Khan, you know, today. And I really wanted to do my first maiden voyage to be songs that made a huge impact on me and split it with songs that were also compositions of my own to kind of show, you know, how I'm adding to that anthology. So that was pretty much the idea behind Timeless, and I think it's expressed accurately on the album and live.
Looking out across my lifetime, from when my heart began to beat, I hear your voice shake me gently. Healing me inside, but get me out into the nighttime. No, you won't hold me tonight. For in my eye, I saw the apple. Said, let me take a bite. future. Why do we do him that way? If they say why, tell them that it's human nature. Why do we do him that way? Do I do him that way?
We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight and our conversation with Alicia Olatuja. This is John Floridis. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and our conversation with Alicia Olatuja.
I gave you all the love I got. I gave you more than I could give. And you took my love, you took my love. Didn't I tell you what I believe? Did somebody say that? A love like that won't last. Didn't I give you all that I got to give it? I gave you all the love I could.
I wanted to. Now, I did tell you I was not going to read your bio to you while you were on the phone, but I'm going to read a quote because I'm going to jump off to a question from that. And I'm trying to remember where this quote comes from, but it is from your bio. A singer with a strong, lustrous tone and an amiably regal presence on stage. Now, besides just to flatter you, I'm going to go from that and say, talk to me about just. just talking about being on stage and that kind of confidence that comes across and where that comes from, maybe. And was that something that was there real early on, or was that something you had to develop as an artist?
For me, it was something that I had to develop as an artist. I mean, some people, you know, they just feel comfortable just being out there at the age of 5. And I was kind of like that, but not on stage. And I think when I was studying classical music, one of the things I learned from one of my teachers, Eric Dillner, he said to me, you know, you, as a performer, you have to give yourself permission to go full out. No one's going to give it to you. You can't look around and, you know, is this okay? Should I do this? Like, you have to give yourself permission first to just go for it. And when you give yourself permission and you kind of just get out of your own way, you know, many great, you feel that connection. You let down all the inhibitions and whatever it is that's holding you back because you've said, yes, you're going to do this. You could do this. And I think giving myself permission as a performer to just be me has really made the impact in how I express myself on stage. And for me, I feel like when I'm on stage and I'm talking to the audience, that they're just friends of mine. You know, they're people that I know because, you know, we all are relatively the same. Like, you know, we all pretty much want the same things. You know, the emotions that we experience, we all experience them. You know, it's pretty primary colors that we're dealing with when we're talking about, you know, the human experience. Sure. So, you know, I always think that everybody wants the same thing that I want. I want to have a good time on this stage, and they want to have a good time where they are. Everybody wants to just have a good time. But also, everybody wants to walk away with something that they didn't have before they came in. Mm. And that's something that's important to me, and I try to make sure that both of those things happen for me and them. And just, you know, you never know if you'll get a chance to see those people again. So make it count. Yeah. And I'm that same way if I meet you on the street or if I'm on the stage. It's the same.
Give me one reason to stay here. Ooh, I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here. Mine. Oh,
listening to Musicians Spotlight. My name is John Floridus, and I'm joined today by Alicia Olatuja. We got to talk about this most recent recording, Intuition, Songs from the Minds of Women. Great recording. I really like the concept behind this, too. Let's talk about this project and how it came about.
Well, I feel like, you know, right now people are ready to hear what women have to say in a new way, in a refreshed way, and in a powerful way. And, you know, what's happening in society, politically, and even personally, you know, I always have something that I want to say. And it's one thing for me to grasp onto the feeling of knowing that whatever I have to say is valid. But I think it's even more important to spread that message, you know, that what you have to say is valid and matters. And doing intuition has just been this revamping of knowing that and really sitting on that, because some of the composers that we celebrate have been around for quite some time. You know, you have songs by Joni Mitchell and Tracy Chapman and Sade, and we've created reimaginings of these compositions. So some of them you recognize, oh yeah, that I know that one. Other ones you're like, wait a minute, I know this. From, you know, you're that kind of thing, you know. And it was just great watching everybody put their hands to this project that's celebrating and championing women composers. And that's something that I've been wanting to do actually for quite some time. Even when I was studying classical music at the conservatory level, you know, we're discussing hundreds of years of composers and music and musicians. And I think I studied about two that were women composers.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, wow, really? You know, I go through my undergrad and graduate studies and we're just talking about two women. This can't be accurate. Really? No one's, all right. Okay. So I kind of put a pin in it. I was thinking, all right, at some point I'm going to do some digging around and really do, I want to really not just celebrate them and be like, oh, look who this is, but also acknowledging the shoulders of people that I stand on to do what I do. Intuition, I feel, is that album. It is that piece of historical value that has composers that some may know of already, and also new compositions by incredible composers of today. One of them was one of my voice students. She wrote this song, one of the songs on the album. She was 18, and she was auditioning for CalArts, and you know, other tunes as well that are from artists in other parts of the world, other parts of the country. And I really wanted Intuition to include that, you know, that rainbow of stories and experiences that women have.
Right.
And so it just makes sense. It just makes sense. And I feel like that confirmation inside when I decided to do Intuition that answered the questions that I had been asking way back in school. And that's why it's such an exciting project for me.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro, perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado. Y en las multitudes, el hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubascos y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario con el las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy llamando. Gracias
barcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida,
gracias a la
que me ha dado tanto,
me ha dado
la risa.
There are some artists that express their art and their life, they express their lives through their art. And then there are a lot who are just given songs and they get up in front of a microphone and they sing it and they have no personal connection to any of them. And I think that that's something that can be felt in the music, and whether it's there or whether it's missing. And so I really love that about all the composers that I chose to feature and work on their incredible compositions for Intuition, as well as my own composition.
About to ask that, yeah. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of crazy. That tune, which is called Just Wait, it actually happened in my dream. And I was experiencing a lot in relationships, starting over. In my own personal life, I divorced and getting remarried. And well, I met someone at this point and was just trying to figure out how life was going to work out, this new chapter. And I had this incredible dream, and it was just, it reminded me in the dream that no one actually belongs to you. There is no ownership, even though we refer to people as my husband or my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend. We always refer to them as a possessive, but really no one really belongs to you. Life, circumstances, fate, whatever you want to look at, destiny, it can take you up to the opposite sides of the world from the person that you love, or it can bring you together. And so there's a level of surrender that you have to have when you're in a relationship with someone, and it can really help you value that relationship in a new way. And that realization came to me in this dream, and the whole song was playing in this dream. It was crazy. And then I woke up and I started like recording it into my phone and writing down the lyrics and the melody, and I was just sobbing because it was just so profound, the message and the realness and what it meant for me in my life. And, you know, having an opportunity to share that song with audiences and through Intuition has been a real treat for me, to see this thing that created itself. I didn't have to sit down and grind out the text, grind out the chords like sometimes when you're writing. You know, it was like this gift that was given to me to help me find clarity as to what was happening in my life. The song itself was the answer, and I think that's the power of music. It has this way sometimes answering questions that we didn't even know we were asking ourselves.
Can you feel it, the press of my fingertips softly against the glass? And I hold my breath, waiting for eyes to look up from the rain. Now I'm wanting and watching for seasons to turn as you walk away. I dream awake. Oh, the steps then between us were two, but now far too many. And my lips are still burning with wishes and silence to stay. Don't remember, but wonder if I ever had your heart anyway. For now, I say, oh. Each other in the rain.
Alicia Olatuja joining us here on Musician's Spotlight. Alicia, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to read a quote. But this is one of yours. So,
okay.
Yeah. And the quote says, then this is in reference to the most recent album, Intuition. When we hear, this is you speaking here, as if you don't know this, as if you won't recognize your own words. When we hear the word intuition, we think of a woman's intuition, that inner gut instinct thing that goes beyond mere information. So beyond the musical aspect of things that we've touched on, can we go a little bit deeper on this concept and just maybe from more of a, a gut instinct, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me,
which is going to go beyond information, like you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for me, the first time I ever heard intuition was when it was tied into, the word intuition was when I was heard it as a woman's intuition. And, you know, I grew up in a matriarchy. It was just women in my household. And, the things that you're taught, the things that you see, the understanding that you have is, you know, sometimes I realized that people didn't have that upbringing that I had where it's okay to trust your gut. It's okay to trust your instincts. It's okay to trust that thing that seems to go counter to what's in front of you, you know, with your eyes. And one of the things that I've been really grateful for is that I was never taught to question my intuition. And whenever I make a decision based on what I really feel in my gut, I've never regretted it. And the only time when I'm ever at conflict with myself is when I'm warring against what I know my gut and my intuition is telling me. And that's such a huge thing when it comes to life. But a lot of times I found that many of my friends, especially, you know, my women friends, most of their pain comes from not trusting their intuition and making decisions based on what they feel they should do, what has been celebrated for about women for many, many years, or in their families, you know, and it may be counter to what their intuition is actually telling them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this particular album, with Intuition, it made absolute sense to title it as Intuition, especially if it's going to be celebrating women and their journey and their creation. But I also put songs from the minds of women, because while the gut instinct is necessary and has saved lives, women are not just these emotional beings responding on what their emotion is telling them. We are also intellectual beings. We are rational beings. We are not these irrational, emotional women who can't figure out things that, you know, make sense. We're just going based on our, how, you know, if we're feeling sad, then we're going to make a decision based on that. Or no, it's like we make tough decisions that counter many different emotions. And with creating works or life, you know, we have to make decisions that, one, are our gut instinct, our emotions, but also require a great deal of intellectual and emotional intelligence. And that's something that you could hear in this music. It's something you could hear in the text. You can hear it in the lyrics. You can hear it in how this music has been arranged, all those things. And so I really wanted to bring to the forefront those two things. Yes, you know, women are intuitive beings, but we also are rational, intellectual beings. And when you put those two things together, when you marry those elements, we create some of the most powerful, long-lasting contributions to the world.
Amen. I don't know what to say other than amen. It's good stuff. Love it. Love it. I'm glad I asked that question. Alicia, when you're not performing, writing, or recording music, what are you doing for fun?
Oh, man. I love two really kind of dorky things, but I don't think it's dorky. I think it's fabulous. One, I love anime. So I love watching anime and picking up the Japanese language from anime. So that's one thing. Another thing is I'm a big, like, online gamer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, I have, like, a whole, like, community of people. Some of them have even invited to my shows, which has been hilarious. You know, people that you chat with and slay monsters with online. You're like, oh, by the way, I have a show coming up next week in your area. You know, they come to the show and you get a chance to see them, and we refer to each other in our avatar names, which is just hilarious.
That's awesome. Love it. Love it. Alicia Olatuja joining us on Musician Spotlight. Her website is aliciaolatuja.com. I'm going to spell that for listeners. A-L-I-C-I-A-O-L-A-T-U-J-A. aliciaolatuja.com. Intuition, Songs from the Minds of Women is her most recent recording, and I encourage listeners to check that out. What a treat to get a chance to visit with you today for Musician Spotlight, and I hope that we get a chance to meet face-to-face and have a face-to-face conversation next time.
And let me know if you ever come to the New York area. I'll bake you something. That's another thing I really love to do, bake sweets.
All right, you got a deal.
All righty.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest has been Alicia Olatuja. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. As well, you can contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.